I'm Gina Kaufman, and you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. Last month, I met Ronnie Burt. He's the president and CEO for Visit KC, and he was on a panel I moderated about coming together as a city. And no offense, but I really expected the tourism guy to put a real shine on everything. You know what I mean? To go into full-on marketing speak about everything from fountains to barbecue. Not that there's anything wrong with fountains or barbecue, but Ronnie turned out to be kind of the opposite of that. As someone who sells this city to people on the coasts and beyond, he knows our strengths, but he also knows our weaknesses, maybe even in a way that we ourselves do not. So now we're going to learn about Kansas City from the guy who sells it. Ronnie Burt, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you object to my astonishment at just how real you keep it?
Well, no, because I think that from a business conversation, we need to keep it real, come to our quick realities and be able to advance things forward. I may have worded it a little bit differently, but I think you've got the gist of it.
Explain your role and your relationship to Kansas City as president and CEO of Visit KC. What is it you do?
So I can quickly define or say that I'm the top sales guy for Kansas City. Visit KC is an economic engine, and what we do is we generate economic impact through the visitor spend and the conventions and tourism that comes to the city. It is a $3.1 billion visitor spend on the region, $5.1 billion economic impact. We are the igniters of an industry that employs over 46,000 hospitality workers.
But what is it that you do?
So Visit KC, we're the marketing arm.
But you personally?
Oh, me personally. Well, I lead the team. I lead a sales and marketing arm of 45 full-time people. I am specifically responsible for setting the strategy. I also get involved with a lot of community and civic organizations as well as corporate communities because we're selling the future of Kansas City. And collaboration and coordination of a strategic vision is all part of what Visit KC does. But in my role, I am the leader of the organization, the motivator, set strategy, objectives, and essentially am responsible for holding my team accountable for executing.
You had, if I understand correctly, a pretty sweet gig in Washington, D.C. before you came here, and you were recruited, if I understand all of this right. So tell me about your life in D.C. and how this opportunity came about.
Sure. Well, I was the vice president of sales and services for Destination DC, which is essentially the tourism organization responsible for marketing the nation's capital. It was a great, great opportunity, a great job. I was very happy. I handled all the international business development as well as the conventions and everything associated with selling the nation's capital. I was recruited to come here. I received a phone call in my office that asked me if I would consider the opportunity. And it wasn't until I actually came to Kansas City to see what was going on here. And when I came to Kansas City to begin the discussions about this opportunity, I became really, really excited about my observations of where Kansas City was. And what I saw was the opportunities into the future. And
Did you go on that trip?
Well, I got a tour of the downtown area. I got a tour of a couple of the neighborhoods to say, here are things that we've put in place. And the neat part of the discussion is when you're considering a job opportunity, you want to see what has been done, not hear about what's going to happen. And so for me, the experience was getting an opportunity to see the economic investment back into the infrastructure over the last 8 to 10 years. And, you know, when I came back in the March of 2014, the streetcar tracks weren't even laid down, but you can see the work was already begun. And so I said, if the conversation was here's about what we're thinking to do, it may have been a different decision process for me. But the fact that a lot of these things were already done made it get me very excited.
I love Kansas City. I mean, I've lived here almost my entire life, and I'm obviously staying for a lot of my own reasons. But it is, I mean, so I say this as a Kansas City fan, but you're off in Washington, D.C. with probably, I mean, one of the most prestigious, I mean, if you're going to be the guy selling a U.S. city, to be the guy selling Washington, D.C., that is pretty huge. And I have to assume that getting a call saying, want to give that up to sell Kansas City, that, I mean, what went through your head there? What did you already think of the city, know about it, assume about it?
Well, I'm being honest, is that the first call that I got, I said, thank you, but I'm not really interested because I'm very happy where I am. But it was, again, my experience was the same thing that we see from visitors or event planners. When you come and visit, you get a totally different perspective. And here's the reality is that a lot of the things that we're doing here in Kansas City are a lot of the same things that are happening in Washington, D.C. People are moving back into the nation's capital. People are moving back into downtown Kansas City. We put a streetcar in place. They just put a streetcar in place in Washington, D.C. There were new restaurants opening here in Kansas City. New restaurants were opening in Washington, D.C. So there are some similarities in terms of what's been reinvested back into the downtown market, which I say for all residents, you should have the same level of pride and passion the way I see it in terms of selling Kansas City and not say things like, well, this is the best kept secret. I think you ought to tell everyone. And we're starting to see that transformation. If we can use the championship World Series victory of the Royals that I see has united or reignited a sense of pride and passion about the community, we need to continue to expand off of that.
What do you think? I want to get back to these strengths, and I know that that's probably what you prefer to talk about, but what do you think is the biggest obstacle to progress in Kansas City?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle from my perspective is this idea of regionalism. We need to look at Kansas City as one region, not this state versus that state. And there are lots of stories and studies out there that say that Kansas City is falling far beyond the rest of the country in terms of economic development and job growth. And I think the future of this region is going to be driven by our ability to look at us as one region, talk as one region, drive economics and success as one region. And so therein lies where there's going to have to be a collaboration because...
You mean between Kansas and Missouri?
Between Kansas and Missouri, and a sense of alignment between what the goals and objectives really look like, civic and business. And we're selling not Kansas City of today, but we're selling Kansas City of tomorrow. I am in conversations and my team's in conversations with groups that want to meet here in 2025. And so what's the vision? What will we look like in 2025? And so we're selling the future, but you only get to what we're selling by having and making those tough decisions today, because a lot of decisions that will be made today won't be actually seen until 5, 6, maybe even 7 or 10 years from now.
So you have to point to specific things happening, being decided in Kansas City right now, groundwork being laid to convince people outside of Kansas City that in 2025, this is what Kansas City is going to look like.
Absolutely.
This is what you're signing on for.
Absolutely.
Well, so, okay, and you see the big obstacle being that we are falling behind in economic growth, and you see regionalism as having a lot to do with that. First of all, can you give me an example of how you see regionalism playing out here, either in your personal life or just in observing the sort of politics and economics?
Sure. Well, I'll use the entry point as one example. When I say the entry point, I'm talking about KCI. KCI is not just Missouri's airport. It's the region's airport. And the dialogue should be just as supportive on the Kansas side about the process and growth of KCI as it is on the Missouri side. But I've talked to people and the opinion is, well, we don't have a say in it. No, I think that people do have a say in it. Just because there's not a vote doesn't mean you can't voice your vision for what you want to see. And I think that would be one example.
So wait, what is problematic about the way that people here talk about the airport, in your view?
Well, again, I like to use different terms, but I don't know if I would say problematic, but I would just say different. So this is the first market that I've lived in, and I've lived in Atlanta, Baltimore, Indianapolis, Washington, D.C., and I'm a native of South Jersey, so if using the Philadelphia airport as an example, this is the first market that I've lived in, and I've heard people say, that is my airport. So I look at that, and I'm not really sure what that means. Well, I guess I do know what it means. Since it's my airport, I have a say in what it ought to look like. But in other markets, people don't talk like that. And so...
So people don't just, like, love their airport?
Well, I think they love the airport, but I haven't heard anyone ever say, you know, the Washington Reagan National is my airport, and I want to have a say in what the future of Reagan National or BWI or Dulles looks like, or the same with Philadelphia. So I think...
Right, because it's the airport that belongs to international travelers, presumably, who come in and out.
And the business community. And a lot of the people who use the airports are not people who actually reside in that specific area. There's a lot of people that transfer through, connect through, and all of that. So I think that the point is that's a conversation that we have to look at things that open us up to say that, you know what, as a community, if we share our community with prospective recruits, prospective businesses, leisure travelers, we may be able to expand and accelerate forward versus looking at it from an internal perspective that these are our owned asset. This is under our control. And these are the things that we want to do based on the way we see it, because my perspective is that I see things a little bit differently because I've lived in other markets and I'm not necessarily from here. And so
how does someone who is using the airport, the MCI, someone's using that airport who doesn't live here, how do they see it differently from how a resident might see that airport?
Well, the term convenience comes up from a resident's perspective. But from someone who doesn't live here, it's not very convenient. And the best example that I can give is as a business traveler who comes and flies into the airport, who walks off the jetway and does what they do in any other market, walk to the curb to try to get a cab. You cannot do that here at KCI. So as a business traveler, you're now pressed for time. You have to walk back in, ask questions to be directed to a phone to pick up a phone.
Phones on the wall.
Yeah, to pick up a phone to call. And what happens is you encounter someone because you walk back out to the curb who did the exact same thing that you did, and they argue about who was there first for this specific cab. It happens every single day. Being able to experience the different amenities, whether it be retail and dining, when you get behind security, like you experience in any other market, are conveniences that business travelers get used to. You don't have those same experiences, amenities here at KCI. So those are just some of the examples. And I think that it wasn't what I said. I think I read it a couple weeks ago in the Star, and they expanded on the term convenience. Convenience is not just about getting dropped off at the curb and being able to walk to your gate.
I've heard you talk about something you call the seesaw principle. Can you explain that and talk about how it applies to us in Kansas City?
Well, what the discussion was about is what and how do we need to change things? And the seesaw principle is talking about people. And the analogy that I was using is that we need to change some of the seats at the table because we, as a community, talk about recruitment. We want the best and the brightest to come work here in our corporations here in Kansas City. And the way I see it is we have on one end of the seesaw, the millennial generation that is being recruited to come here. In the middle, we have the mid-level management that's balancing. And then on the other side, we have the long-termers or the older generation that essentially sits on a lot of the seats, hold a lot of power, makes a lot of the decisions.
And like on boards and stuff?
On boards. And so there's a seesaw back and forth in terms of balancing that vision and perspective of who we wanted to be. And I just think and believe that there are some highly talented younger people that hold advanced degrees, MBAs, PhDs, and some of the other things, that we need to open up and allow some more integration and exclusivity on those boards that helps shape or reshape what we and who we want to be as a community. And I think that by doing that, we can probably get places that we haven't been before. We've talked about them, but we've never been able to get consensus as a community.
So are you talking on some level about like that there are some people who need to get up and vacate their seats at the table?
Well, I think that they can come to those own conclusions. I've seen people that are locally who sit on 10 different boards. I don't know how you can sit on 10 different boards and run your own organization and be a part of advancing conversation or providing new perspective. Now, again, I'm sure it's not the most popular thing to say, but it's people who have heard me speak, this isn't the first time that I've shared this. And again, people in some cases welcome this perspective because and this is my professional perspective, not my emotional or opinion about it. And this is just what I've seen in other markets that I've worked in.
How do other markets differ? I mean, you mentioned regionalism. Is there an example of a market where you've seen communities across all kinds of whatever kind of borders, I mean, state lines or otherwise, come together and work toward common goals in a way that is maybe a little alien to us here?
Sure. Well, I just moved here from Washington, D.C. It's 2 years ago. And in Washington, there was an organization called CRUSA, which is Capital Region USA. It was D.C., Maryland, and Virginia that collectively made a contribution to a fund that marketed the Capital Region to nationally and internationally. It wasn't just D.C., just Maryland, or just Virginia separately. I grew up in South Jersey, and in South Jersey, it was the Delaware Valley, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey from Businessburg. There's always going to be differences. There is no perfect model. Nothing's perfect, but I think it's the way we speak about things. And when we talk about Kansas City, people start to segment and break off and you know, define different geographic areas. I think Kansas City is just the region.
We're just getting started with Visit KC's Ronnie Burt. When we come back, no softballs, we'll broach the topic of race in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman, and if you have a question or comment for Ronnie Burt about how Kansas City looks to visitors and transplants, call 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. Hi again, Ronnie.
Hi.
I'm Gina Kaufman here with Ronnie Burt of Visit KC for this morning's Central Standard on KCUR. Kansas City Pride is at an all-time high with a World Series win fresh in our memories. Kansas City t-shirts are at a pinnacle of popularity. We're making national lists for best cities for this and best cities for that. And we've got arts and entrepreneurship scenes that people are buzzing about. But what makes a city like ours truly attractive to visitors, businesses, job recruits, and new arrivals in town? Ronnie, is there a difference between what we think makes us awesome and what people really care about when they're deciding whether this is a place they'd like to be, even as visitors?
No, I think they're one and the same. I think that the energy that you just gave a synopsis of at Kansas City is what is happening organically here. I think the connecting with it and understanding that, you know, Kansas City is a successful economic development story. Now, there's a varying of opinions in the community about that, but in a nutshell, it is. And the visitors want to experience that type of energy. They want an authentic experience. The visitors want to do the same things that the residents like to do. So I don't think there's really a disconnect in terms of what's happening here, what the visitors are looking for, and necessarily the way we see it.
Do you, you know, one of the really difficult topics for people who live here is race. We struggle with becoming a more integrated city and getting truly, truly beyond historically entrenched dividing lines. I want to first ask how you felt about the discussions around race and perhaps a related discussion about uneven economic development here in town as someone new.
Well, I mean, I think that first I would say I'm not a politician and I'm not an expert on all topics. So this is really just my perspective being an African-American executive and CEO of a tourism organization. It's a sensitive subject across the nation. We're seeing that being played out right now in the presidential election. But I think as you look at the fabric of a community, we are a diverse community. We need to recognize that we're a diverse community. We need to be inclusive of that. We need to deal with the tough topics. We need to look at how we develop the entire community on both sides of a street, and it's called East of Truce, and that conversation comes up a lot. And for me, being an African-American executive, I need to make sure that I'm helping do my part in elevating the discussions and in my space, working to making sure that African-Americans have the same opportunities and for hospitality and tourism careers that will become available. And we're seeing the industry grow.
Do you feel that there are concrete steps being taken to change that discussion, to move it forward, or does it feel stagnant to you?
Well, it's hard for me to assess the answer, give an answer to that question. I've only been in the market for 2 years, and I've really had to work on advancing the goals and objectives of Visit KC and make sure we're executing at a higher level to deliver the type of results that are expected. So it's hard for me to give a concrete answer on that. I know there's been lots of discussions and people are working on it. My only measurement would be is how long And I look at this measurement internally as how long do we talk about things? How long do we watch things? How long do we evaluate things before we set concrete goals to see if the needle is moving in the path that we want it to move in? And that would be my only takeaway to pass on, is that these are sensitive discussions, but what is the goal? And what are our check-in points? What are our measurements? And are we moving in the direction? Are we checking things off and getting them done? And that's the way I evaluate things and run my organization.
When people talk about visiting Kansas City, their experience either having been here or thinking about coming here, is race part of that discussion?
No, that's definitely not a discussion point that comes up. People are looking at big picture. People want to know, what are they, or what can they experience here in terms of the assets? You know, people want to know about, you know, the arts and cultural institutions. They want to know about the culinary scene. They want to know about, you know, activities that they can participate in. What are the hotels? How do I get around? I mean, that's essentially what people are looking for. When you're looking at travel, the demographics of travelers may be looking for some cultural enrichment or some historical things, but they're not really looking into the discussion that deep.
We pride ourselves in Kansas City in being nice. Is that something that matters a lot to people thinking about coming here?
Well, I'm respectful of the term Midwestern hospitality. The analogy that I use, again, people don't go to New York City because New York City is defined as being nice. In fact, New Yorkers have a perception about being rude. People go to New York City because there is a unique experience that they can take in when there. And I would say the same thing about Kansas City. I think it's an attribute that we're nice, but I don't think that's the key driver of why people are going to come here. People are going to come here because they're looking for an authentic experience, whether it's our arts and culture, whether it's our museums, whether it's the culinary. They've come here on business travel and they want to take in kind of the fabric of the community.
Let's hear from Jim in Kansas City. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
How are you doing today?
Very good. What do you want to contribute to this conversation about how Kansas City looks from the outside?
Well, I've been a resident here for 66 years, and I recognize that we have a racial problem. We have a divided city. I live on the east side, and it's hard for African-Americans to make money in Kansas City. One of the reasons for our young people not being able to have a decent living, we don't have a proper and fitting training school, like down on Truman Road. It's not full-blown. If you go out in Lee Summit, they have a skills center and tech school, and it's tough to make a living here. I've also invited, like Mr. Burks, we have a program called Kansas City Metro Junior Golf. I've invited him to participate and come out to our golf tournament, and I've just trying to bring people together so that we can see our urban kids on some of the greater things that they do. But it's a very tough city to try to make a living in. I've offered my services to several organizations. I offered to Mr. Burks as a consultant to try to bring the majority community into the urban core for business and social opportunity, more so business, because we are starving for an opportunity. If you come in my neighborhood, I live on 21st Street, and it looked like a bomb hit it.
You know, and, Jim, I want to get some response from Ronnie, especially when it comes to when we started this conversation, we were talking about attracting recruits for employment opportunities in Kansas City. And I wonder, I mean, is there, Jim is talking about opportunity for people who are already here. And I wonder how those two things relate to one another.
Well, thank you. I don't want to make sure that I'm being clear in terms of what Visit KC's role is in terms of the progress of Kansas City. We're talking about some very big issues that are going to help Kansas City advance to be that world-recognized convention and tourism destination. I'm happy to be a part of any of those conversations as my responsibility for the seat that I sit in. But there's a lot of other organizations that have to be a part of this discussion, that have to own certain things as it relates to neighborhood development, economic development, and progress in the city forward. And so from that standpoint, it's hard for us being the tourism organization to say what can and should happen and what the issues are in the communities. But as my community service give back, I'm happy to be at the table and give my perspective and volunteer and be a part of any of those discussions.
Do you think that the issue of opportunity and new jobs, recruiting people, the sense that this is a place where people thrive? I mean, do you think that that impression, which when you talk about the need for Kansas City to grow economically, to attract millennials, I mean, do you think that it affects how they perceive Kansas City when they hear things like this? Or I don't know whether they do hear things like this.
Well, I think it's important that in the recruitment process, the HR people or the companies that are going through the recruitment process have a good, sound understanding of what is currently at play, what is currently happening, and what are the initiatives. The other thing as it relates, and I would say to your listeners, is that there are the new council, the City Council of Kansas City, Missouri, as it relates to hospitality and job growth, is working very specifically with developers to make sure that new projects, that there is a percentage of those jobs that are going to Kansas City residents. And I think those types of things are happening. I would also say that it's important for people in the community to just search out for the understanding and don't assume that things are not happening, because there are organizations and people that have a very special interest in terms of making sure that the divide is closed, that the gaps are closed, and that people have the same opportunities as anyone else out there searching for a job.
Let's hear from Matthew in the River Market. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, thanks for being on, Ronnie. I just wanted to ask kind of a question about how the city markets itself as a unique destination point in the United States, and with regards to attracting development and activity and bringing, you know, life and vitality to the urban core. I think one of the biggest segments of our population that continues to unite people of all different races and backgrounds is the arts community. And like when you market the city and you put an image out there, you put advertising and you put radio commercials, and I think it's really a good idea to represent those people directly. I think when people look from the outside and see what makes a city unique, I think the arts scene here in Kansas City is really, really, really integral to the growth of this community, and it's done a lot of great stuff. People who are putting on plays, dances, concerts, you know,
yeah.
The art scene is a big part of downtown.
Matthew.
And I just kind of wondered how – oh, yeah.
I'm going to just let Ronnie respond to that because we're running low on time.
Sure. Matthew, I would agree with you. In fact, if you go to visitkc.com, I think that you will see the arts weaved all throughout of our website. And I'll also point out is that we also agree that the arts is a highly effective way of telling the story about Kansas City, which is why we've created KC on KC videos that is a digital storytelling series on Kansas City. And arts has its own digital video. And so I would agree with you. And for the listeners out there, just go to visitkc.com and you will see images weaved all throughout the website promoting the arts and culture in this community.
We have a call that we don't have time to get to, but I understand that the caller wants to ask about signage. And that is a big difference between an insider and an outsider. An insider, you know, we know the city like the back of our hand, and there's some pride in that. I won't lie. But it might be, I mean, how does an outsider navigate the city? Is there work to be done there?
There is absolutely work to be done there. And I've spoken to the arts community about it. And I've mentioned it a couple times. Again, I think people have to remember that Visit KC does have a lane to stay in. I cross over the lanes lots of times to give perspective. But I'll use this example as it relates to signage. As an outsider, coming down Grand Street, you cross over the crossroads, but there's nothing visual that pulls you into the crossroads. So there's things like that we need to work on.
Like that you just don't know that you've arrived.
Yes, you wouldn't know that that's the creative part of the community. And so we're going to work on that, and so we'll change. You'll see changes in that.
Well, Ronnie Burt of Visit KC, it's been great getting to know you today and your perspective on so many of the aspects of what makes Kansas City unique.
Well, thank you.
If you want to listen back to this discussion or the one with artist Rodolfo Marone, we'll have both of those ready for you later today at kcur.org/Central Standard. Sign up for our podcast while you're there. That's kcur.org/Central Standard. Tomorrow, it's an encore broadcast of our conversation about the latest Alzheimer's research, plus local stories straight from those experiencing Alzheimer's, both as patients and caregivers. It's a heartbreaker tomorrow at 10. We're on the air an hour a day, but you can stay in touch with us on Twitter anytime. We're at KCUR CST, and I'm at Gina KCUR. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.